Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Mini Podcast, where we share tips to empower leaders in the nonprofit world. I'm Janice Penning, and I'm here with my partner, Michelle Malloy Dillon. Hey, Michelle.
Hey, Janice. So one thing we really like to talk about at Fundraising Leadership, and we do a lot of work with teams around this, is how to increase team trust. It's such an important thing. And what is trust, right, for each team? So what are some of the things that we know exist when trust exists and a team can really work powerfully and effectively together?
Yeah, that's such a good point. I think it really is the foundation of everything. You know, if you don't have trust, and to me, it's really about feeling like you, when people say that they're going to do something, that they do it, it's knowing that you can rely on each other as a team. And it also feels like a place where you can share your successes and know that other people will champion you, but equally as important, you can admit that you've made a mistake and know that you will be supported in learning from that mistake.
Yeah, I like what you're pointing to, because there's something around allowing vulnerability, being willing to be vulnerable, for trust to be built. It's not always about making everything look smooth or like I've got everything handled, but actually calling out when I didn't get something done that I committed to getting done, or I blew a deadline.
Yeah. Or I don't know how to do something. Yeah. So there's, we were reflecting on February 9th, 2022. If people want to go back and listen, we did another mini podcast episode on designing team agreements. And we talked about what team agreements are and why you might do them. And sort of as a shorthand, that's basically about declaring as a team, like how you want to be together, like how you want to interact with each other. And we thought it'd be fun today to talk about, like, what are some signals in a team that you need to redesign that, which basically means there's some issue with trust. So what would you see with the teams you work with as some of those signals?
Yeah, because it happens all the time. Like, things are going well, we're working well together, and then there are breakdowns that happen. And I mean, even us at Fundraising Leadership, we need to have conversations again and say, okay, you know, what kind of team agreements do we need to make now? What adjustments do we need to make? So what we notice when we're working with teams, when it's time to revisit those agreements, is there might be gossip going on. There might be people sort of holding back and not, you can sense from your team members, like they're not telling you the whole truth, or they're not giving you all the details, or something is being held back. And so there's this sense of distrust or uncertainty, or what's going on, because I'm not hearing the whole story. And like we mentioned before, there may be something around accountability. There's things that are getting details that are getting dropped and not called out and not taken responsibility for.
Yeah. And I think especially I'm really struck by gossip, because I think it often shows up on teams as somebody has an issue with a person, and instead of actually like being open and honest with that person or addressing it with that person, they start to go to other people in the team and talk about it, but not in a helpful way. Like, please help me strategize how to deal with this, just, you know, in a really unhelpful way. So I think you're right. That's a big one. And the other thing is sometimes it might be something positive that means a redesign, right? Like maybe the team merged. Like two organizations merged, and certainly you're going to need new agreements. Somebody new joined the team. That's an exciting time, but it's also a dynamic, changing time. For sort of sometimes things feel off track and you need to get them back on track. And sometimes it's just like, oh, there's a change, and it could be a positive change, but it has created this need to redesign.
Yeah, and it doesn't always have to be a big change either. It can be, you know, a shift in a role that somebody on the team has, and that you just need to sort of talk about, how does this shift responsibilities here, and what do we need to know about each other? Yeah. And you know, here's the thing. It's like when things begin to sort of, when people are beginning to make assumptions rather than there being clarity, that's when things can really begin to go toward, at its worst, toxic environment. At its worst. And you don't want to let it get to that point. So just really noticing there's sort of something happening here. We can't put our finger on it. Let's have a conscious a conversation about, you know, how are we going to be accountable and what's going on in each other's lives? And, you know, what there might be some vulnerability that needs to happen. So, you know, we have some exercises that we do with teams. We'd love to share with you here. It's sort of a way of helping each other stay in touch with what's going on and to know each other, to truly know each other. So what are some of these exercises we like to do with teams, Janice?
Yeah. So one of my favorites that we do a lot is and we often do this when we're having a workshop, but it's definitely something you can do at a team meeting, is just have everybody share something one thing they enjoyed to do as a child. And it's often, it's fun. And, you know, some people had difficult childhoods, but most people can, you know, find at least something, right, that they enjoyed, whether it was at home or at school or with their friends. And it often makes me laugh because the teams often start to laugh at each other because, you know, if somebody plays a certain role on the team, you know, they're always the cheerleader, then it's not surprising sometimes to hear as a kid that they like to rally all the kids in the neighborhood together for an impromptu game of baseball, you know, or if somebody is, you know, maybe more quiet and organized. Well, actually, I love to be organized, as you know, Michelle. And so it's not surprising that I used to like to play school teacher, and I'd set all my little stuffed animal stuff when I was pretend that I was teaching school. So I think that's one where it's we often intentionally choose something where people can share as much or as little as they want to. With the sensitivity to, for some people, it's very vulnerable to say something about what they did as a child. And for other people, it's not, right? So we always like to intentionally make these kind of icebreakers that people can step into as fully or as little as they want to. So it's one of my favorites.
It can be a light, just a sentence or two, or even a whole story. Yeah. Yeah. Another game we like to play too is what's the story of my name? So, you know, is there a story about why you were given your name, or is there a nickname you like to be called? And what's the story around that? Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the story around my name is my name's Michelle. And I always ask my parents, did you name me after the Beatles song? Because I was born in 1966. And they say, no, the Beatles song came out a few months after you were born. It was just sort of in the air, I guess. We just like the name. And my dad's name is Michael. So it's sort of the female version of Michael. And, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. And again, I love that because it's could be a story of your first name, your middle name, your last name. If you've got married and changed your name, it could be
a chosen name.
So that's another fun one. And then we like to do a lot of improv. You know, improv games are designed by their nature to encourage teams to accept offers from other people, to build on other people's ideas, which is a huge part of trust. It's really hard to feel trust on a team if you feel like your ideas are being shut down, which actually you and I talked about in the last podcast about agreements. That's two of the things that are really important to us, is to have other people. So, you know, classic improv game, which people can Google, is Yes And. And we also sometimes play one called One Word Story, where literally a team just goes around and each person adds a word and they try and create a story. And it usually ends up being quite a hilarious story. So I think those are some really kind of simple ones that you can, again, it's like you can just interject these, you know, 5-10 minutes at the top of a team meeting or a retreat, you know, if you're doing a retreat, which hopefully you are at least annually, then these are some great things.
Yeah. There's, I love the suggestion about a retreat too, Janice. A retreat is such a wonderful, and it can be, you know, we're going to consciously hold a 2-hour retreat, or you go off site and do a longer retreat, but it's a way of sort of revisiting who you are as a team. in a conscious way. And so we're talking about in this conversation all different ways that this can happen. Designing agreements in a conscious way, having an activity where you get to know each other on a different level. But whatever that reset is needed to keep that trust going and that sense of connection and knowing each other and working well together and being willing to be vulnerable with each other is so important. It really is the superpower of a functional and functional team that works well together. And let's face it, enjoys working together too, because we get to have that too in our world.
Yeah. And just to wrap up, like, I think it's also important to remember that if you feel like there is trust missing on your team, like you said at the beginning, this is normal. It happens sometimes, especially during times of stress or change, which we've all been certainly through the last few years. And consider having someone, an outside facilitator. I mean, I really do think sometimes a team needs an intervention of someone who can come in and draw out. A lot of times, if there's a lack of trust, there's voices in the room that aren't speaking, and it can really be helpful to have someone. That's something we love to do, to kind of go in and make sure that all of the voices are heard and respected, and that then the team can choose to move forward.
So we have a tip sheet that we'll put in the show notes. It's called How to Increase Team Trust. It has some of the tips that we've mentioned here in this podcast that you can reference. So go ahead and feel free to download that when you have a moment.
Thank you, Michelle, for being on my team, which has a very extraordinary high amount of trust. It makes me very happy every day.
Me too. Really enjoy working with you.
This podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs that powerfully transform how you work in order to get results. Please subscribe if you haven't already. And you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. If you are enjoying the show, you can help us continue to bring thoughtful content with a monthly or annual contribution. This supports our production costs and keeps the show ad-free. Make a contribution today using the link in the show notes. Now go put it into practice.